This is Alex Medford from Denver, Colorado, coming to you from sunny Maui, Hawaii, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Adam Minnick, Lonnie Goldsmith, executive producer Richard Cote, joining you on what we affectionately call the First Line Edition. We are coming from varied, varied parts. Richard, I'm in the same time zone as you.
That's amazing. I love it.
Kind of. Well, I guess I'm always in the same time zone, but it's actually the same time where I am as you.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So,
I am coming from the land of mullet, which there could be a chance I see the mullet tonight to be determined based on schedule and pricing availability.
Yeah, you're going to have to take plenty of pictures. Let us know. You get all like 2,000 fans on there.
If they get five. I believe that, you know, they're going to set a sellout streak here in the NHL if we don't be careful.
That's true. They are playing well. They are playing really well recently.
We'll talk about that, I'm sure. But, and then, Lonnie, any snow to report yet in the land of the north?
No, it is 50 degrees and sunny. The dusting we had last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, is long since melted. It is a glorious day here.
So don't worry. Sunday, your life will be different in terms of weather.
Right now, it looks like it's going to be dry, at least. It looks like it might be dry. Wait an hour, that could change.
Yeah, it is Chicago and the terrible association of Soldier Field. So we'll see how that disaster goes. Disaster for one of us.
Remains to be seen which one.
Yeah.
I venture to say it could be, if it's a disaster, it's actually more of a disaster for you.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Enough football talk. We'll talk hockey. Cause I think everybody's done talking college football. I think every other sports podcast and news podcast has covered that at an angle. So yeah.
Yes, that's about right.
You know, we've got a lot of stuff going on in the good, the bad, and the ugly, as we always do. You know, I think last time we talked to you, everybody was talking, we were talking about how the Boston Bruins aren't having a hangover and Vegas just on cruise control. And, some of that hasn't changed. But ho-hum, I think we really have to start talking about the New York Rangers, guys.
Yeah, they're looking good.
They're rolling right now. It's 7-3 of their last 10. Plus 16 goal differential, a little bit leaky on defense, they're scoring well. They're taking care of business right now.
Leaky on defense, but their goaltending's been phenomenal.
Right.
Doesn't matter who they put in net. They're getting goaltending right now.
Yeah.
They're just, it's tough to, I mean, they're the second hardest team to score on in the NHL. Right now. Third, because I keep forgetting that Ottawa's tough to score on.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that. They can't score.
Right.
But they're tough to score on.
Right. They're not scoring.
Yes. Yes. But yeah. Are the Rangers for real? I mean, you take a look at, when you look at The Athletic and they always put the predictions out there. Dom does a lot of this really, really well if you're a nerd. But I mean, right now, Rangers up to a 109 point projection.
That seems about where I had them.
Is it? Is that where you had them?
Yeah, I figured they were going to, probably run away, but definitely win the Metropolitan.
You did have them winning the. You were the only. Oh wait, no, you didn't.
That was last year. I had them winning the Metro.
The only one that has them winning the Metro is the snarky Canadian.
Wow.
So we can't allow this to happen.
Oh, boy. We all had the jerks.
We did.
Oh, boy.
Bad take.
Oh.
The jerks. As the Rangers are going up, the jerks are falling down because they can't stop a puck.
No.
They have a goaltending situation.
They do, and it's pretty rare to see a second-place team with a zero goal differential.
Did you guys catch the national broadcast late TNT game last night at all?
If you tuned in
a minute into the game, you missed the first two goals by Edmonton.
who would have thought that it would have taken, I mean, again, Edmonton's getting healthy anyway. It's not just Carolina's goaltending that's bringing it on. They're starting to maybe decide to show up now that we're into the second quarter of the season.
Two goals in two shifts and three goals in like 5 minutes. I mean, hello.
Yeah.
But here's the shocking thing, guys, about the NHL. This is not even on the rundown. I'm going to shock you. I'm going to bring this out of nowhere.
All right.
Coaching changes actually may work in season because Minnesota and Edmonton have decided they really like playing for their new coaches, apparently.
So, yes. Also, yes, they work if you have the talent or in the building to make it happen. Like if you're a bad team and you're playing, like if you're a bad team and you're like three seasons into a rebuild and you're still playing bad and you fire the coach in the middle of the season, you're not going to get different results because you don't have the dudes to get it anyway. These two teams they've had the dudes. That's never been a question. They've had the talent. They were just not performing.
Well, I agree. But I mean, that's, of course you need the dudes to get it, but I'm saying it, but here, you know, here's little do we forget of coaching changes actually do maybe work when you have talent and they're not responding, that maybe early in the season, you have to make a move. The Hawks did it with Quenneville.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. From Savard, who 18 games in, Quenneville took him to a conference final before the run. The Blues won a Stanley Cup with a coaching change not too long ago.
He was an interim. He was actually an interim when they won it.
January, right. Yep. And Pittsburgh did it.
Yeah.
We forget about the Mike Sullivan run. You know, so when you have talent, I think making a decision early isn't actually as dumb as it sounds sometimes.
No, if you've got the pieces in place and you've got a management structure that, you know, that believes in the room, in the talent in the room, then yeah, you know what? If you pull the ripcord early, then, you know, good things can potentially happen. Yes.
So
I mean, those two teams are winning. You know, those two examples of Edmonton and Minnesota are, you know, Edmonton's 5 in a row, mm-hmm. Minnesota's 4 in a row, hasn't lost for Hines yet.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely crazy what it can do when you get the right coaches in there. What I've noticed with Minnesota, at least, it seems their defensive structure is way better. And I, not so much watching, but listening to the players, reading the players' quotes afterwards, whatever it was, they did not like the previous structure. It just wasn't working. Hines has come in, tweaked a little bit, and it seems like it worked for now.
For now. Yeah. And it can't, you know, changes like this, it's never going to be like, it's never going to be a huge change that happens simply because like that kind of change usually requires bringing in some other player or players to affect change. So at that point, it's just figuring out what to do with the system. And clearly, you know, Guerin is familiar enough with Hines. Hines is a body of work in the NHL, familiar enough that he can make, he knows, you know, the, you know, GM knows what the defensive system is. He thinks he's got the players that can work within it. And that little tweak is maybe all it takes.
Yeah, they were together in Wilkes-Barre Scranton, so they're very well acquainted. And then, like you said, with Edmonton, I've always said with Edmonton, if they can figure out goaltending and or defense, I actually don't think the coaching made as much of a difference there. I think it's just personnel, but maybe the coaching was the reason the personnel wasn't responding. But you know, Skinner looked good last night, and they banked millions of dollars on him. And quite honestly, you know, Edmonton's got a big mountain to climb because they're not playing against their own division at this point. They're playing against the Central, which looks to be the five team potential playoff thing going on out of the eight. But you know, Minnesota and Edmonton right along the same place of getting back into this and making the West actually becoming interesting.
Yeah, Minnesota's definitely in the right division. I mean, okay, we sort of joked about Arizona on a heater, but they've also won 5 in a row right now. They're in fourth place. I'm not sure at what point in the season we thought they'd be on 28 points, but 24 games into the season, that's not where I thought they'd be. I thought they'd be way closer to Chicago than they would be, say, Dallas, right?
Yeah, I was going to talk about them next, but well, let's jump right to them. Here's the most amazing thing for them. It's not just offense or defense. They're playing complete hockey game right now.
They are.
Like, Clayton Keller, you know, with 24 points in 24 games that have played a game guy. Nick Schmaltz is knocking on double-digit goals. You got Kraus and Carson, who are young wingers that are up there in double-digit goals already. And then go figure, Connor Ingram has kind of taken the goaltending by storm. You know, 11-3 with a 930 save percentage. 930 save percentage. Two shutouts. Yeah. 15. Like, who's this Connor Ingram guy and where did he come from our radars?
I don't know. I always felt like Arizona has had a flash of brilliance with goaltending every now and then. I don't think that's the case with Ingram. I think he's kind of the real deal, at least, you know, this season. We'll see how it progresses into his, you know, further into his career. But, you know, Arizona's always kind of had that one goalie. It's like, well, if they can stay healthy, you know, the team will be a lot better off. And that's kind of been the issue, is they've been snake bitten in that position.
Also, I mean, Ingram doesn't have much of a body of work yet. So let's maybe everybody's pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, 45 games played, 43 starts for his career at this point. 500 goalie at best. I mean, the you know, the numbers are, you know, the obvious numbers aren't, you know, 3 goals against average and 912 save percentage. I mean, he's definitely outperforming right now, but goalie's a notoriously tough position, right? You don't get people coming in and making impacts right away in goal like you do in other positions.
No, but you know, he was last year, because when I started to look at his numbers, he's well traveled. You know, he was a draft pick in 2016, so he's no spring chicken. Tampa, third round pick.
Yep.
You know, pretty high draft pick. You know, for a goalie coming out of the WHL, split a lot of time in the AHL and the ECHL. But you know, for for Arizona last year, 6-13. So you know, not a great team. We know he was on. He did have a 907 with that terrible team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the AHL, you know, he played for Milwaukee 2 years ago. He signed with Nashville, barely got a sniff there, but he had a 915 and a 270 playing a full season in Milwaukee. So he's had flashes of it. 1920, the dude had a year in 33 games, a 192 and a 933. So he's been above 920 most of his career in the AHL. So he's obviously got some stuff. And you know, Arizona is just, they're playing better this year, man. And they're, I just, their defense has been shockingly stepping up and keeping pucks away. I mean, Michael Kesselring, I've been watching a few Arizona games. I don't know why, but maybe because they're on when I'm watching TV. Kesselring's been really impressive on the back end as kind of a stay at home defenseman, you know, and Sean Durzi, I think, is going to be a name. I don't want to say that, you know, we're talking Norris, because that's all offensive, but Sean Durzi's having a season, boys.
Yeah. Jumping back to Ingram real quick. I mean, looking at the 2016 draft, he was the 8th goalie taken. And he's played I think something that speaks to just the late bloomingness, if you will, of goalies and the fact that it can be notoriously difficult. He's played the 3rd most games out of goalies in that draft class at 45. Carter Hart was the first goalie taken that year. He's played 216 NHL games, and Philip Gustafson was picked by Pittsburgh, now of course with Minnesota. He's played 80. And then Connor Ingram, but like, it's not like that was a who's who of goalies in that draft class. And you know, listen, if you're a goalie that gets taken by Tampa, Tampa's done some pretty good things with their goaltending.
Yeah.
You got to think maybe they know it. They picked him in the 3rd round. You got to think maybe they knew what they were doing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, the whole Durzi thing too, is this going to go down as a really good trade for Arizona? I mean, they give up a 2nd round pick to LA this offseason to get him. And he's playing top pair minutes, top pair style. I mean, you end up making the playoffs, a 2nd round draft pick for a Durzi, you know, where you got some lockup years still coming ahead. And it's not, he was good in LA. I mean, I was kind of surprised at this interdivisional trade. I mean, is this what Arizona was planning on doing, and they're speeding up this, or this just they're going to come back to the norm here in a couple weeks?
I think, yeah. What's the norm, though? I mean, I don't think they're going to be
lottery is their norm.
I think maybe back end of the lottery. I'm not sure they're a playoff team in the West, okay. But I think they're going to hang around a little bit longer. I think one of the things that I find really interesting about Arizona, and I thought this at the time, like I was puzzled by the move at the time, and then you see how he's playing, you see how the team's playing. Logan Cooley was just absolutely locked in to go back to the University of Minnesota and comes out of nowhere, signs his entry level, and is playing with Arizona now. Minnesota is the national runner up last year, and he was going to get big minutes again with Minnesota, and he's playing. He's decided to forego. I think when things like that happen, these guys know something, because he's going to get like 20 minutes a night as a number one forward in Minnesota. And now I think he comes in here and he's playing real minutes. He's got 14 points in 24 games. And just to be, just to be difficult, I picked him over Bedard in our Calder pick just because I needed to see another name up there. But like if he starts putting up big numbers and the team wins, like that actually portends really well. Like they've built youth, and the trade with LA. Yeah. It's an interconference trade, but it could be one of those rare win-win trades. You get a number one defenseman and all it costs you is a second round pick, and you've got leverage with contracts for the next couple of years. That's not a bad deal.
See, and I don't think they're going anywhere for the next couple of weeks. Their schedule's pretty easy. They're going on a road trip to go Boston, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. But they've got Buffalo, Ottawa, San Jose, Colorado will be tough at home. But then they go, their only other road games after this one, they're going to San Jose and Anaheim. They could finish December really, really nice.
And remember, they already defeated Colorado earlier in the, late last month. Yeah. So that's one they're going to be eyeing to prove that, this is the new path for the club.
Yeah. Their schedule really went out, because I was looking ahead before the broadcast here, the pod, their schedule doesn't get tough until February. So they've got a real chance to become, instead of draft picking, They've got a buyer mentality potentially.
Yeah, I mean this is where you start banking points. You win the games you need to win. You're supposed to win. Like at Boston for an 11 a.m. Mountain Time puck drop, right? You've just traveled time zone. Like you're not supposed to go in there and compete with Boston anyway, right? But on the other hand, they just beat Vegas in Vegas 2-0, shut out Vegas. They beat Tampa and Colorado in back-to-back home games. Maybe they're actually starting to put it together.
And don't kid yourself, they've got a lot of cap room. In terms of contenders, they're going to have the most cap room of any contender at the trade deadline if they're staying serious. That's nothing to sneeze about.
No.
I mean, having cap room is an amazing thing. Oh, and by the way, they have 500,000 draft picks over the next 3 years. Maybe slightly right. Under 500,000.
But yeah, somewhere around there.
I think in 2025, the entire second round is Arizona.
looks to go that way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, four second round picks in 25.
They have 10 second round draft picks in the next three drafts. That is huge.
They have a chance to be buyers big time.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That is the kind of thing, draft picks, that kind of capital is the kind of thing that if used properly changes the trajectory of a franchise.
And now, keep in mind, this was the most striking thing, Richard. They can take on long-term defenseman contracts because they have no defenseman signed after this season.
Right.
This is like,
I was just looking at that. That's amazing.
I am becoming a fan of wanting Arizona to be in the trade talks, because I think it could be really fun for a team that has cap space, draft picks, and zero defensemen signed for next season. The trades that they can pull off to be a contender is going to be like nothing we've seen before.
Oh, yeah. But I guess the other side of that coin is, how many players and how many agents are going to be like, yeah, I want to go play in front of 5,000 people every night at a home game?
But it also comes down to, I want to live in Scottsdale year round.
There's that too.
I mean, I know we joke about it, but I still think there is something to be said about wanting to live in the Phoenix area as a player.
Oh, I think so.
You know,
who cares that it's 110 in the summer? You're home at the cottage anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's going around. You know, when you look at the odds, Richard, there and that the NHL season projections, courtesy of The Athletic, put out, anybody you're saying is going to skip it, you know, and go down, go like anybody really strike it out to you?
Anybody striking out to me? Let's see.
And I got one that I don't buy a percentage on.
Oh, for their playoff? Or yeah. Are we talking? Okay. Playoff, to make the playoffs? I'm still not sold on Nashville. I mean, I know they only have a 46% chance, but I feel like that's high at this point. They're playing better than they started the season, but I'm still not sold on them. I don't know what to make of that club this year.
What about the Jets? They're projecting 101 points with a 91 percentage. What am I missing?
I think you're missing the rest of that division. We just talked about Minnesota getting better, but the rest of that division is kind of punching bags this year. It's not as strong as it's been in the past few years. And those are some, kind of soft wins that they could be getting down the stretch.
But Lonnie, is Winnipeg not the new Nashville, where it was all about Pekka Rinne and the mm-hmm. defense? And then could they score enough, and could Pekka's health stay enough? I almost feel like outside of Kyle Connor, this team is only as good as Connor Hellebuyck. So if it's not a Connor situation, the Jets are in trouble.
I don't know. I mean, you've never been a big believer in them anyway. You've also got Mark Scheifele.
Mm-hmm. Quietly having a good year.
27 points in 24 games.
But he's been quiet out there with it.
He has. Cole Perfetti is a young guy, 19 points already, and a plus +7.
Dude has speed, by the way.
He is so unbelievably fast. Josh Morrissey is a point producer, but also playing strong defense. Like I think part of the reason they sort of go under the radar is the fact that they are in Winnipeg. They don't have a huge building. They're kind of on an island in between the Ontario teams and the Alberta teams. And they're sort of disconnected that way. I've always been higher on Winnipeg than you have, but that one doesn't surprise me. I think to me that even at this point in the season, projecting the Devils at 100 points, that to me is a surprise.
Here's the one thing I'll say about Scheifele though. He's doing almost all his damage offensively on the power play right now. Half his goals are on the power play. About half his assists are on the power play. He's a minus player. Kyle Connor's a minus. Like, their top line is a minus line. That's, you can't win a season only being power playable. I mean, the fancy stats aren't great when you start to look at Corsi with those guys. I mean, Kyle Connor's a 49.1 Corsi at even strength. That's Mark Scheifele, 48.7 at even strength.
You'd probably like better numbers for your top two offensive players.
You would think.
Yeah.
You'd think. I do think, I mean, I agree with Richard, though. A lot of it chalks up to the division.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a two team division. I know Winnipeg's on the heels of Dallas, but really it's Colorado, Dallas, and the rest. We've talked about that before. I mean, if the thing is, Minnesota can play well to make a dent. The Blues decide that they want to win three games in a row, lose four games, win. They're streaky as all get out. And Nashville and Chicago just can't get it together. Nashville may be the worst 13-12 team I've ever seen at the third point of the season. I don't know how. Like, once again, that's another Richard, I think, schedule. Like, oh, they're in a division that they can grab wins. Like, they're not good.
No, they're not.
They're not fun to watch either.
Not really. I haven't been able to watch many of their games.
That's the worst thing to me. Like, to be both like average and uninteresting is really unpleasant.
And I know, like, people are going to say, like, you guys are idiots because they've won 8 out of the last 10. But I, like, oh, God, they're just, they're not fun to watch in that they're not, I mean, they beat Chicago in a shootout. They beat Buffalo, by the way, and lost to New York. All one-goal games that they've been at recently. But, I mean, their wins are at Minnesota before Minnesota made a change. I'm sorry, no, they lost to Minnesota. That was the first game. Sorry, that was the first game after the change. You know, they blew up the Blues. They doubled up Calgary. I mean, they snuck a win versus Colorado and Winnipeg in this streak. They all at home. They're dominating at home in one-goal games. You can't dominate at home in one-goal games and expect to translate that over a whole season. You just can't.
Right.
At some point, you regress to the mean.
And I'm dropping it. I mean, that the weirdest result in there is that 8-3 at St. Louis. The day after Thanksgiving.
Weird, yeah. In the sense that they scored that many goals.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's weird for both teams. I mean, both teams are fairly helter-skelter anyway, so I guess I'm not all that surprised, but that's just a weird... I mean, right, there's a reason they're basically, I mean, standings-wise, virtually identical.
Yeah.
Both have allowed 80 goals. Blues are a minus 7. Nashville's even goal differential. There's 1 point in between them through 25 games each. Like,
yeah,
they're all virtual mirror images.
So, interesting. So, Lonnie, let me get your take on this as we look through that. Minnesota sits at a projection of 47%. Edmonton at a projection of 74% for playoffs. These two teams are, like we just talked about, similar path in reasoning.
Yep.
I mean, are you shocked at 30% better chance for Edmonton than Minnesota?
Not really, because if you look, I mean, what they're projecting right now is that the top three teams in the Central are going to stay the top three teams in the Central. That projection is basing Edmonton to come in a much stronger fourth. Again, keeping the same three teams there, but I think Edmonton's, I think it's, I don't know what goes into the science behind this, but I think it's, you know, gotta be somewhat, talent driven. I mean, it's talent driven and schedule driven. I mean, again, I think it's pretty easy to find an extra 4 points in that division, you know, when Anaheim and San Jose are there. I think Chicago is the only gimme in the Central, given how Arizona's playing right now.
Sure.
So I guess I'm really not all that surprised.
Yeah.
No, those projections do, by the way, have Arizona dropping off
considerably.
Considerably. Oh, yeah. But again, 17% chance of the playoffs. I don't remember the last time this far into a season that Arizona considered a 17% chance for the playoffs.
Yep.
So, if you're a fan, who knows?
And if you're a fan of Chicago, San Jose, Columbus, Anaheim, or Montreal, sorry, they think your season's over. Buffalo, you've got a chance at 3%. They're saying you got a shot.
There's a chance.
Watched Buffalo last night for the first time in a while, and I know they've been banged up, but boy, when they get off to a rough start in a game, it is just, they are digging themselves out of holes every night. It is, yeah. And there is talent. That is not an untalented team. And they just, I don't know what it is. They cannot start games.
Yeah. They've got some back end issues.
Yeah.
They've got some real big, I mean, outside of Dahlin, who's more offensive than defensive, Owen Power is struggling as a young player quite a bit. Matias Samuelson hasn't really given up much at all. Eric Johnson has been I'd classify him as a disappointment.
Yeah.
I think they were going to get a lot more out of him. And then, you know, Pekka Luukkonen is actually having decent numbers, but, you know, Levi and Comrie haven't been able to stop a beach ball.
Right. I mean, Levi is an interesting mention here because, again, you know, sort of what we talked about with Ingram of it takes goalies a long time. yeah, he was the best college hockey player in America probably for 2 years running, or at least among them for 2 years running. It's really, there's a big difference between, you know, playing against teams in the Northeast and playing again for Northeastern and playing against the NHL every night. It is really hard.
It's like he was a super high draft pick. He was a final round draft pick.
Right. Late, right. He was a late blooming goaltender, which again, those are a dime a dozen. Those are almost the kickers of drafts in a lot of ways. He is more the exception than the rule. Like Fleury being, you know, one of one, right? You better be awfully special if that happens to be in that spot.
You do have to be special. You do have to be very special. If you need to get a special gift for your friends, go to mycustomsportschair.com. Great custom sports chairs in this holiday season. Mycustomsportschair.com. Tell them that the PHN sent you, get some little love from them, but it's great. You can put anything on a sports chair you want. They're comfortable. Go get it at mycustomsportschair.com. Lonnie, are you excited? Tonight's the night.
Showtime, baby.
Tonight's the night. Apparently he got his number. Apparently Patrick Kane's allowed to work 88 in Detroit.
Immediately. I did. Yeah, I will say it was going to save this for later, but I really liked it. This is sort of the depth that the guys on NHL go, NHL and ESPN go into. Buchagross and Callahan were, during the game the other night, were talking about the reason that Sprong went with 17. The 88 was actually an homage to his time with Ovechkin. He really liked playing with Ovechkin. The 8 was taken in Detroit, and with Ben Chiarot. And so he went with 88. And now obviously Patrick Kane gets 88, which Sprong very willingly gave up. I'm not even sure it cost Kane a dime. And he went with a 17 because the 1 + 7 = 8. I couldn't go with 71 because Larkin has that.
Okay, that's. I don't know if I want my players thinking that much, man. It's a lot of thinking.
I like the math. I like it.
Yeah. I like the homage.
So it's an homage to Ovechkin, essentially.
Yes. 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 There are worse players to homage to.
He's, by the way, he's worn many numbers.
Sprong?
When he was in Pittsburgh, he was 41. Then he went to Anaheim where he grabbed an 11. In Washington, he was a 10.
10 is not a number he could have in Detroit.
No. And then he was 91 in, where was he last year? Seattle, which I don't think 91's available in Detroit. I don't believe it.
Stupidly not in the rafters, but also not given out. Much like Konstantinov 16, it's not in the rafters, but it's not being not in circulation.
So in terms of Daniel Sprong giving up his number, let's be honest, he's had a different number in almost every stop that he's had. I don't think he's tied to numbers.
I don't think he is either. That's totally fair. But also, he's been performing really well in the 88 so far this season.
I wonder if the 91 in Seattle was an homage to Ovechkin because 9 - 1 = 8.
That could be.
Maybe.
He couldn't get it other way. So, by the way, do you know his official nicknames?
Are we on Sprong still?
Yeah, Sprong. Yeah.
Well, it's hockey, so I'm sure Spronger is one of them.
No, he's not. Spronger. Nope.
What is it?
Sprongy and Sponge.
Oh.
Huh.
There you go.
Sponges is number one. Yeah. I give him credit. That's not the usual hockey nickname.
I'm happy to be wrong.
There you go.
By the way, he's been really good for $2 million this year.
He has been. So what are you expecting out of Kane?
Not a ton, honestly. I mean, he's had a couple weeks of hard skating, and I think there was a lot of talk that he would have made the debut in Buffalo the other night, homecoming and everything. And I think he and the team decided he needed a couple more good skates to make sure he was feeling ready.
I also think it was not a good situation to make him debut in.
That's not the place. You also don't want him.
Chicago and Buffalo are the two places you want to start.
No, you don't want him. You also want him to debut at home if you can help it. And you know, look, San Jose, not going to get a ton of pushback out of San Jose. Probably
a soft landing, I believe, is what we called it in the industry.
Yes, that's probably going to be a nice place to get going. I mean, I think you're probably going to get somewhere in the, I would guess, probably 13 to 16 minutes maybe. Tonight he's getting, skating on the second line with DeBrincat and Joe Valeno centering. I think
Alex DeBrincat is a second line wing. It's a nice luxury to have,
isn't it? I mean, right. I mean, look, if you really need to go, you could flip stuff around, but the Larkin Lucas Raymond chemistry is working really well. Robbie Fabry has come off of IR red hot. So that's the first line, but like you could put those top two in a blender and be pretty happy no matter how they come out of those top six, the way they're playing right now. I think he's going to, and he's going to get in the mix right away because of, in part, who they're playing. I think as long as he doesn't skate or play too cautiously, I think he'll probably be okay.
Yeah. They're going to miss JT Compher tonight. That came out this morning on a morning skate. So, I mean, that I guess kind of makes sure that Kane will for sure be top six. And not that there was a question with the DeBrincat chemistry, but kind of seems like that's what we're looking at.
No, I mean, the question, right. The question is, I think going forward when Compher is healthy is in part is going to be who drops out. I think the one thing Compher gives you unbelievable penalty kill, him and Andrew Kopp, two Michigan guys on the penalty kill together have been unbelievable. Yep. I think that, Compher could very comfortably center that line and be sort of the defensive anchor for those two. I think Valeno is unbelievably quick, and I think his overall skill centering that line is going to be really fun. It's a young guy who's coming into his own a bit. I think it's going to be excited though. I think that all accounts Detroit is very very juiced up for this one.
Yeah, so slot him in with DeBrincat on the second line. 16, 18 minutes a game. That's what you're thinking in the first couple.
I think that's going to be on the high end. I think sort of 16 will baseline for maybe the first week or two. And I think it'll be, I think the great thing now is for Detroit is that you're in this place that you're appealing enough to get a guy like this, even though, 35 coming in off an injury, a far more team favorable. I mean, he's betting on himself with his contract and the term 1 year at, I think 2.75.
Yep.
Which was far less than we thought it was going to be when we talked about this 2 weeks ago. But look, he's taken a gamble on himself. I don't think it's a gamble. I don't think he thinks it's a gamble. Knowing the sort of swagger he plays with, this isn't a gamble for him. He's going to do his best to help Detroit get back to the playoffs and hopefully make a deep run. And then he'll decide what's next for him. Detroit's a team with cap space, but also upside. So we'll see what happens. And he's got ties to Detroit too, from, his time with Honey Baked.
Yeah. I don't think there's any downside. It's for the cap number he agreed to at 275. There's no downside. Whatever he gets is going to be an upside. Yeah. And I think there's no downside. And potentially he's also an insurance policy because, you lose Compher for a bit right now. Fabry's been out a couple of times with his back injury that's flared up. So it's not like they needed the extra forward. So it's not like there isn't going to be room for him to work in and kind of, they can kind of adjust based on injuries. And, he may not play every game, it just kind of depends on workload with him.
That's right. I mean, they seem fairly committed, at least for the time being, the schedule that it is to carry 13-7-3. And I mean, you see it on the back end of the defense every night. Sometimes Petrie's out, sometimes Justin Hall is out. Tonight it looks like Mata might be, it was at least in the morning skate, Ole Mata was the seventh defenseman. So he may be rotating out tonight for Justin Hall. So, I mean, like it's, there's been a fluidity but at the same time, there hasn't been a drop off.
Right.
And they're getting contributions up and down the lineup. And I think when you adding a guy as skilled as Patrick Kane to that mix right now, I mean, look, you watched him up close and personal for a lot of years, right?
I did.
It's brings an awful lot to the table.
It does. You know, I watched him when he had that nice hockey flow, but as he's aging, you know, his manscaping needs aren't as the same as they used to.
No, they usually aren't.
But maybe use Manscaped. Check him out, manscaped.com/PHN. Get your codes in there, manscaped.com, if you want to look as good as you can for everybody else. Check them out. Great products, all that. Thank them for sponsoring us here on the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Okay, Richard, you put in a story here about Tuukka.
We've had a Tuukka Rask sighting earlier today. During the morning skate with the Boston Bruins, he appeared as an emergency backup goalie for practice. It got me thinking, like, who would you like to see as an emergency backup goalie? You know, if they can qualify for this, any recently retired player/goaltender as an e-bug.
Recent? Does it have to be recent?
No, I guess it doesn't have to be recent, but they have to be alive.
To be alive. So personally, I think Eddie Belfour fits the mold of a perfect e-bug type.
Ooh, yes. For some reason, his name did not come to my brain, but I like it.
I think the ego, just, I don't know what it is, but he just seems that wily type to bring him out of the stands. Middle right. Of the game. You know, his helmet, no matter what team it was with, stands out. So it's a good conversation piece because the goalie helmet from their 10-year-old college years, you know, is always right. the talk. But he'd be a good one. When Brizgalov retires, you know, he's always a good quote. So he'd be a good e-bug.
Right.
You always need a good quote from the e-bug afterwards.
You do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me pose this situation to you. Let's look forward to January 15th, 2024. We have the Colorado Avalanche at Montreal.
Oh, no. No.
Patrick Waugh is the e-bug coming in for either team. I think would be fantastic.
His ego would not allow him to be an e-bug.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But this is my fantasy. So let me have this, Adam. This is my fantasy.
He would absolutely take a lead pipe to the to one of the starting goalies.
And that's why I want to see this. He's hiding a lead pipe in his sock somewhere.
Or he'd do it to Montreal's goalie and then just olay the first couple of shots and then laugh at the fans and wave.
Oh, yeah.
He rips off his jersey. Shows his Colorado ring with the Colorado jersey underneath.
Which one? Both of them, right?
Yeah, both. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I see why.
But I mean, he didn't exactly leave the Avalanche franchise on good terms either. Quitting halfway through as a head coach,
still think you know,
training camp
better than Montreal.
Oh, I'm not saying it wasn't, but you know, it's not exactly friendly terms that he left Colorado.
You know who would be, actually, here's the e-bug I want to see.
Okay.
Jágr.
Okay. I like it. I'd love to see what he could do between the pipes.
Any e-bugs from those of yesteryear?
So one of the stories that came across being a soccer fan recently, goalie named Petr Cech, who is a Czech Republic international goalie, played goalie for Arsenal and Chelsea, won the Champions League with Chelsea, won numerous league trophies with both of them, is playing goalie for the Belfast Giants in the UK. Came into a game at 41 years old, came into the game. He was playing for, according to the Guardian, he switched hockey, joining the fourth tier Guildford Phoenix, played for Oxford City. He got into a game. They were 5-1 up. He allowed no goals. It was unbelievable. He's a friend of Peter Mrazek's. There's a story on NHL.com back from January where Petr was in Chicago and skated with the Blackhawks and took shots in the morning skate. I'm intrigued by the cross-sport e-bug.
Okay. I have one other name I'm going to throw out there that I think would be fun because he had a great mask. Cause you know, you always bring with whatever like recent.
Right. Mask, yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Okay.
Oh.
Career cut too short.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he won a Calder. Did he won the Calder trophy, didn't he? Wasn't he a rookie of the year?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, and then it just went. But
I think so. We're doing some on the fly research.
Right.
At least I'm not going to Europe and soccer references. Jeez. No, that is, yeah, that was a good story. That was definitely a good story. So.
Right. No. Yeah.
I like it, Richard. I like that one. I like that.
Thanks. I'm going to have to save that clip, that audio clip, and just play it whenever I need a little motivation.
So to end here, we always have to talk something Jersey. Leaks are starting to happen about Stadium Series game. There's starting to be leaks. Towels have been seen in Jersey that are red towels with a simple black N logo on them. The logo black. So looks like Jersey is going to be wearing red in their series game and have some kind of the crest will be black.
Okay. Interesting. Who, I can't remember the combination of matchups. Who do they play?
They play Philly, I believe.
And then it's a New York game.
And then it's New York, New York. And the rumor is the Islanders will wear dark.
Wow.
Which means I thought maybe the Rangers, that New Jersey, they was going to be kind of their outdoor gamey type jersey as well, but not if they're going to be in white. But yeah, so New Jersey, I mean, I would expect New Jersey to be the home team and be in dark.
But yes.
A black, the N in black on a red jersey seems to be what, I don't know if I like that.
I've never been a fan. Yeah.
I got to see it. I don't know.
I've never been a fan of black, like black lettering or black numbering straight onto a red jersey. There has to be some separation there. I would imagine
some white piping, maybe.
We'll see.
Something to separate it. It might be a little tight. You have no idea how it plays on TV.
Well, and they're playing the night game on Saturday night.
Yes.
Which to go dark on dark, just like to me, that's more day gamey.
Yeah. I mean, the Stadium Series logo it's black, the state of New Jersey in black outlined in red, yep. And then a little bit of green in the Stadium Series outlining.
Yeah.
So really playing into the, into the jersey, those three colors there. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I would imagine there'd have to be a little bit of green in it, but
no,
I don't know
what that's going to look like. There doesn't have to be. we could just skip that.
There should be. The pants better be green.
Yeah.
But that would look good with the black and green pants. Really bring it out. But I'm disappointed that the rumor is blue versus white for the New York game. I want orange versus blue. I want some color on color.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when they're that different.
Yeah.
So that's I think the first time I saw that in like college football was UCLA and USC.
Gorgeous. So gorgeous.
Oh my God. The Battle of LA, each team, you know, LA in the powder blues, USC in their burgundy, each team getting, when they first started doing it, each team was docked a timeout for wearing illegal uniforms because nobody was in a home jersey or a road jersey. It was, I mean, unbelievable combo. That was great.
Speaking of jersey stuff too, I don't know if you guys noticed. So, you know, the NHL lacks their rule that you could wear color helmets with white jerseys now, which never used to be. San Jose jumped on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
They wore those teal helmets over their white jersey with the teal pants. Mwah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm starting to think that the greatest rule change ever in the NHL is this lid change rule.
That's awesome.
I didn't even know it was a thing until it was a thing.
Right. Yeah.
I just never think about it. Right. But yeah, like thank you, Carolina, for starting a trend. So we've seen Carolina, Arizona, and now San Jose wear colored lids over a white jersey.
I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit went red, white with the red pants.
So the problem with Detroit, though, I think their reds are a little different in the pants and the helmet. Aren't the helmets darker? I thought maybe not.
I didn't think so.
I don't know.
We'll see tonight. We'll see tonight. But yeah, I didn't think so, but maybe.
Yeah, showcase Kane in it.
Yeah. Everybody looks good in the wing bill. Just ask Lonnie.
That's
everybody.
Right.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how many more teams jump on the colored lid with. I mean, it. If it's the same color as your pants, to me it makes sense. It's that football. It turns into that football look.
Yeah,
it does. Yep. But then you run the risk. Well, I guess I'm. It's also thinking back to our discussion on the outdoor games. You run the risk of the NHL or the NFL color rush nights, which those were so to me.
I don't think we're going that far.
No, I hope not.
Yeah. There we go. Richard, it's that time.
It's that time for that the
time.
For the Bet 99 PHN picks of the week. Shall we do a little recap over last week?
Nah.
All right. I mean, if you want.
I mean, let's
get to it.
I think we need to know. Adam and I tied at 3-2 last week. Adam at 9-11. This is the longest I've seen you under 500, Adam, since we've been doing these.
I'm having a slow start to the year.
I'm at 11-9. Lonnie, after going 0-5, he improved.
I improved. I improved.
1-4 last week. You were 1-9 total on the season. Let's see if we can get Lonnie a few more wins this week.
Why?
Why
do we want to do that?
Because our I don't know. Something interesting to talk about.
Right.
All right. Game number one. Early in the season.
By the way, I can't. I'm just going to get this out of the way now.
Yeah.
I looked at the schedule even before I saw what you picked. You have no choices because everything is bad.
I haven't looked at the schedules.
This first game might be good. This first game might be good. And laugh all you want.
No.
Arizona at Boston. This could be a good game.
This could be sneaky good, which yeah. I can't believe I'm saying. I kind of right? hate myself.
Adam, let's start with you.
By the way, you didn't pick the only game I thought's going to be a good game.
Which one?
The New York LA Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that's the game of the night. Oh, but anyway, Arizona Boston. No, Arizona is not winning in Boston. Absolutely not. You could beat up on the you could beat up on the bottom half of the Western Conference in Buffalo, but you're not going into Boston and winning.
No. Okay, Lonnie.
Don't do it. No.
I can't do it. No. I can't even. honest to God, I can't even pretend to talk myself into it. I don't care how many nice things I said about her. Look, I wouldn't have picked Detroit going into Boston a couple weeks ago and winning like they did. There's no, like, I'm not going to pick Arizona too. Arizona's a great story. I'm glad they're playing better. I'm still picking Boston.
By the way, I know this is audio podcast. If we had video, the thought bubble going on above your head was so readable there. You were trying and you were like,
Am I going to be dumb enough to try to come up with a rationale? No, I'm not.
I think Cochina boy is going to come up with a rationale though.
Oh yeah.
Well, you want to hear my rationale? Last time we all went with Boston lost, which was last week at the Rangers.
2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago.
Or 2 weeks ago, yeah. this is not the Rangers. I'm going Boston as well.
Oh,
but this is going to be an act. This yeah. actually gave me pause for thought, you know? So I thought it was an interesting one to, you know, we'll see what happens here. Game number two, the Vegas Golden Knights at the Dallas Stars. Lonnie, who you got?
This is a fun one. I think this might be the game of the night. I don't love Dallas limping in. They're in a tough part in this part of the schedule here. I'm going to go with Vegas.
Okay.
But I owe you an apology, Richard. The game of the night, that's Sunday. I had the wrong day. I knew the LA and Rangers played this week, and they're Sunday, not Saturday. I apologize. Apology. You've picked correctly.
I accept the apology. Okay. Now I will accept your pick for this game.
I'm gonna go. Ooh, God, I'm gonna go with Vegas. It's so hard to pick against them anywhere.
Yeah.
Dallas is starting to figure it out, but Klingberg's gone for the year. They're not clear. not Klingberg. He was with Dallas. Oh God, they just got injury news. I'll get it in a second.
Okay.
I'm going Vegas.
Going Vegas. Okay. I mean, Vegas is still better on the road than Dallas is at home, but I mean, Dallas has got to get out of this slump. I'm going to take Dallas for anything to be different than you two. All right.
I wonder what's going on in Dallas that they're playing in the afternoon. Saturday.
The 3 o'clock
local time.
What time local?
3 o'clock local.
Do they have like a Mavericks night game?
That's too close.
That's too close. They want to do. I was just looking at the schedule. I think that's too close together to go.
Yeah, so it's just 3 o'clock Vegas. It just seems odd.
Yeah.
And it's not for TV reasons. So.
No. All right. I'll take Dallas. Game number three, Nashville at Toronto. Adam, I'll start with you.
Toronto.
Okay. Lonnie?
By the way, I think the Kings and the Islanders would have been a better name than this one.
Look at Lonnie coming from the top row. Wow. Okay.
Toronto, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go Toronto as well. I can't talk myself into picking Nashville on the road. I know this is the game everybody's been waiting for. Game number four, Montreal at Buffalo. Lonnie, I know this is the one you've been waiting for.
This has all this should have all the hallmarks of like a 6-5 game.
Right.
But it's probably then going to be 2-1. I'm going to Montreal. Don't feel great about it, but les habitants.
All right, Adam.
Montreal, because they're going to be better rested and they're at home.
Montreal's on the road.
Yeah, that too.
Because it's a short trip to Buffalo?
Yeah.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I don't care.
In this coin flip of a game, I'm going home team. I'll go Buffalo.
Can I just choose? I don't care.
I think this is game of the night here. Although, you know, the visiting team hasn't been playing terribly great. Carolina at Vancouver. Finish strong here. I'll start with Adam.
The visiting team hasn't been playing great. Well, either has the home team, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm just getting hung up on just the disappointing season I'm seeing out of Carolina.
Yeah, they haven't played well at all on the road. I'm going to go Vancouver.
Okay.
Build hockey night in Canada, back end doubleheader, Vancouver Canucks to the rescue.
Okay. Lonnie?
Yeah, I'm going to Vancouver. This is some, you know, late night West Coast Saturday night weirdness, I think, written all over it. But Carolina at the, you know, in this tail end of this West Coast trip, really, really not looking great. The humbling they took last night from Edmonton, I don't love it.
All right. I'm going to go Vancouver as well. When it's a coin toss, you got to give it to the home team. So there are our picks for the week, our PHN picks. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at PHN Podcast, or you can use the hashtag PHN Picks to share your picks with us.
By the way, this is a brutal trip for Carolina.
Yeah, it is.
At Winnipeg, at the Oilers, at the Flames, a back-to-back there, at Vancouver, cross-country to Ottawa, to Detroit, and then home on a back-to-back. That is a tough 2 weeks.
It's a hard stretch.
God. Whoa. Brutal.
It's not kind of them, to say the least. Not kind of them. Party shots, closing thoughts. Storyteller extraordinaire Richard Cote is with us.
If you all remember, back in October, the Texas Rangers won the World Series. My baseball team, the Texas Rangers, won their first World Series in franchise history. I immediately had to go out and buy some championship gear. And Emily had to as well, because we've both been following the Rangers for quite some time now. Her shirt came in, her championship shirt came in about a week after we ordered all the gear. I knew there was a backlog. I finally got my championship hat today as we record this podcast, you know, about a month and a half after I ordered it. Took a while, but I'm happy it's here. Now I can wear my World Series champions hat to celebrate my team's championship.
Swear to God, that was so long ago, I legit forgot who won the World Series.
Right?
Thank you for reminding me.
They did it so quietly, too.
So quietly.
Right. Not taking any digs at Houston or anything.
Oh, yeah, I figured that's
right. Lonnie's just old. His memory is going. That's what it is.
I watched 5 minutes of that World Series. It was the last 5 minutes of the World Series. I tuned in at the perfect time.
There you go.
Thoughts, Lenny?
Thoughts. Today is Thursday, December 7th. It is my eldest child's 19th birthday. She is preparing for her first finals week as a college student, and just wanted to wish Hannah a very, very happy birthday. I hope she has an excellent evening with friends.
Get ready for chauffeur life.
Yeah.
There you go. My thought is those that celebrate, happy Hanukkah. It starts tonight. 8 days of lights. Project Menorah. Look it up. If you're not familiar with Project Menorah, look it up. It's a fun little read for those out there. But hope those who celebrate enjoy it. It's bringing a lot of kindness to the world. For Richard Cote, Lonnie Goldsmith, I'm Adam Minnick. Thank you to our friends at MyCustomSportsGear.com, FOCO, and Bet99 Sports up in Canada, as well as Manscaped. This has been another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.